Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. We're going to play something here in a second for you. We are happy you joined us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. I'm springing something on Phil real quick for you. He's getting it. Pleased to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at the John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. You got that promo?
I do.
Play it. There you go. That's just, you know, I just had to. I'm sorry. But I just had to. So that is to cue to let you know that next Sunday, we've got our next live remote coming up. It'll be at AFP's headquarters down at Union Station. There's a Facebook event that we've created on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. That's next Sunday, August 10th. One of my guests will be the great one himself, Mark Levin. So I've had the great one on the show before, but we'll be talking about his new book on power. We'll be talking with him about a bunch of stuff, but he will be on. He'll be joining us next Sunday, and hence we got the liner from him. So it's great to have. That was a bucket list item for me a number of years ago, the first time I had him on the show. I've had him on like three or four times. But it's always great to talk with Mark. He's a fantastic guest.
He is. He's so smart.
And, oh, yeah.
And just a great guy.
Does not mince words.
No. And I just, that's.
Yeah. No.
That's why.
Does not pull any punches. But so make sure you join us. You can join us live at AFP's headquarters. I need to talk to Phil, but I think they're going to do, they're up in the menu. I think they're going to do food. I will share with you on the Facebook page, on the event page, what the menu is, but they're going to do food. In addition, Congressman Ron Estes will be with us live in person. So he'll bring us an update on Washington from Washington, D.C. And my buddy, Dion Leffler. And I say that word loosely. He will be with us. In fact, Dion's the subject of tonight's monologue. But so it's going to be a great event next Sunday, broadcasting this show live from Union Station. Make sure you join us. If doors open at 6, have a great spread of food, come down and join us. So tonight, got a great show for you. Brandon Strack, he is the founder of the Walkaway campaign. He is a former liberal, a one-time Democrat Party supporter, and he walked away from the Democrat Party. He will join us here coming up a little bit later in the show and explain why the Democrats' party image has just eroded to its lowest point in more than three decades. My buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will be with us to try and discuss the mainstream media's biased coverage of Texas's new congressional redistricting maps and the left-wing outrage over Sidney Sweeney's American Outfitter ad. I don't know why they're just losing their poop over this thing, but who knows? It's the left. Who can explain them? Investigative journalist Joshua Phillip will expose how the Chinese Communist Party is using ideological allies and shell groups to fund some of these protests that are going around, these No Kings and some of these other protests. Guess what? It's the CCP that's funding it. And Kathy Bond will bring us a final update on her bid for re-election of the Wichita School Board. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So I shared an op-ed on my Facebook page recently, and many of you don't subscribe to the Wichita Eagle, and which is fair. It's really lovely birdcage liner. But it was an op-ed from, again, Dion Leffler, who will be with us in person next Sunday. And, you know, it's Dion. What do you expect? You know, he's a friend, but he's as left to center as you can get. And frankly, there's a difference between disagreement and delusion. Dion and I disagree, but Dion's just frankly delusional. And right now, the American left, particularly the opinion class, the so-called media elites, have lost their collective minds. Case in point, we recently got another unhinged op-ed from Dion Leffler, the so-called opinion editor over at the Wichita Eagle, in which he actually said that Trumpers, That's you and me and your neighbors and your church friends and the 77 million other people who voted for Donald Trump are supporting what Dion calls the, quote, ethnic cleansing of America. Let that sink in for a moment. Ethnic cleansing. Because you support Donald Trump and his immigration policies. This is the kind of over-the-top, disgusting accusation that not only is dishonest, it's dangerous, it's offensive, and it's yet another example of how the left will say anything, no matter how absurd, to smear people who simply disagree with them, who simply believe in enforcing the law. Let me repeat that. According to Dion Leffler, if you believe in border security, if you believe in enforcing immigration laws, if you think illegal immigration should come with consequences, you're no better than a war criminal. You're a Nazi. You're a fascist. You're a dictator. You're an autocrat. How absolutely absurd and unhinged is that? Let me tell you something. Wanting tougher borders is not ethnic cleansing. It's common sense. It's constitutional. It's right and responsibility of every sovereign nation on earth. And let me also say this as clearly as I can. Illegal is illegal. And I don't care if you're white, green, yellow, black, brown, purple. I don't care what color you are. If you're here illegally, you're a criminal. And you should be sent back to your country of origin where you can come back and try and go through the process correctly. If you come to this country illegally, then you broke the law. And yes, you should be deported. That's not racist. That's not fascist. That's not ethnic cleansing. That's just common sense and basic sovereignty. This isn't mean. This isn't mean-spirited. This isn't unkind or cruel. And it isn't complicated. Every single country on the planet has borders. Every nation has immigration laws. You try sneaking into Mexico or China or Germany without paperwork and see what happens. You think they hand you a bus ticket and voter registration form? Of course not. But here in America, the radical left has turned our immigration system into a joke. They want open borders, blanket amnesty, and no enforcement whatsoever. And then when you stand up and say, wait a minute, that's not sustainable, they accuse you of being a Nazi or an ethnic cleanser. No, Dion, wanting a secure border is not ethnic cleansing. It's patriotism. It's sanity. It's the bare minimum standard for having a functioning country. A nation without borders is no nation at all. It's just a geographic area wanting to be overrun, exploited, and bankrupted. And we are already seeing the consequences. If you don't control who comes in, who stays, and who gets to be part of the country, then you're no longer a sovereign country. You're just a landmass with a flag. And that's exactly what the left wants. They want chaos at the border because it gives them political power. They want new dependent voters. They want to flood the system. And if a few laws get broken along the way, they never liked the Constitution anyway. Meanwhile, what are the real world consequences of this insanity? Well, we've got fentanyl flooding across the southern border, killing tens of thousands of Americans. We've got human trafficking, drug cartels, and violent criminals slipping through every single day. We've got cities like New York and Chicago begging for help because they're drowning under the weight of illegal immigration. And what does the left say? They say you're the problem for wanting to stop it. They call Trump a dictator for proposing the very policies that used to be bipartisan consensus. Border security wasn't some radical idea 20 years ago. Even Bill Clinton talked about cracking down on illegal immigration. Obama deported people. Biden used to say he supported a secure border. But now if you say that, maybe, just maybe, people should come here legally, go through the proper channels and respect our laws. Oh, you're labeled a monster. Let me tell you something. That's not just wrong. It's a deliberate lie. The only extreme position in this debate is the one the left is pushing. Wide open borders, zero enforcement, and endless amnesty. And it's not just about immigration. It's about control. Because the left wants you to shut up. They want a silent dissent. They want to redefine every word so that standing up for your country becomes hate speech. They scream dictator every time Trump speaks. But what do they really fear? They fear that he'll actually do what the American people want, like secure the border and force immigration law and put America first. And make no mistake, America First is not racist. It's not xenophobic. It's not about ethnicity. It's about citizenship, law, and loyalty to this nation. It's not about skin color either. Trust me, if you're a blonde, blue-eyed co-ed from Norway, you're still an illegal and should be deported. Let's be crystal clear here. We welcome legal immigrants. Always have, always will. This country was built by people who came here legally, through the front door, worked hard, contributed, and became proud Americans. But if you come here illegally, if you cut the line, if you break our laws, and then demand benefits, housing, and protection, you should be sent back. End of story. And if you're a so-called journalist like Dion Leffler, sitting in your air-conditioned newsroom, calling in law-abiding citizens ethnic cleansers because they dare to support the law, you should be ashamed of yourself. This kind of rhetoric is poison to our democracy. It's not journalism. It's activism. And it's making things worse. It's dividing this country, stoking hatred, and putting a target on the back of every conservative who still believes in law and order. So let me wrap this up with a message for the Dion Lefflers of the world and the woke mob that's propping them up. You don't get to redefine reality just because Dion Leffler forgot how to be a journalist years ago, and it doesn't make him right. The left-wing liberal media doesn't get to call half the country racist because we want to enforce the law. They don't get to paint patriotism as extremism. They don't get to accuse millions of Americans of ethnic cleansing just because we voted for Trump. And to everyone listening tonight, don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them shame you. Don't let them bully you into silence. Because we are the majority. And the majority of Americans, including Democrats, believe in borders, laws, and a country that protects them. So the next time someone says you're cruel or radical for wanting immigration laws enforced, just look them in the eye and remind them that illegal is illegal. And if you break the law, you deserve to be deported. Period.
Yo, GOP, let's kick it.
Ice, baby.
All right, stop. Illegal immigration and listen. We're getting into a real bad position. Problem. Grabbing a hold of us tightly. Illegal.
We'll take a quick break, and then investigative journalist Joshua Phillip will expose how the Chinese Communist Party is using ideological allies and shell groups to fund unrest on American cities. Ice, baby. That's just too good. We'll be back right after this.
Intensely. You can come on in even though you got 10 felonies. Love it or leave it. Get out of the way. There's people following the laws. We'd like to get it today. There's a problem on our border, but yo, we can control it. Build a bigger wall and let the agent patrol it.
Ice, armed baby. United States officers patrol the fence, waiting for the Mexican police to restore order.
The system's still broken.
Ice, baby.
And to truly deal with this issue.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're bringing Guy Benson to town, just coming up here on August 5th, just 2 days from now. Get engaged, make a difference. It's a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can get more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And, of course, it's also a great way for you to get involved, to make your voice heard. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. It's the best way to get involved and find out about the show. Well, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, chaired by James Comer, along with Republican members of the panel, are investigating the financial and political activities of Neville Singham. He's a U.S. billionaire with ties to the Chinese Communist Party that may be linked to the ongoing riots and, a peaceful protest. Sorry, let's make sure we get that right. And violence in Los Angeles, as well as the far-left organization Code Pink. With us now to explore why many say these peaceful protests may be backed by Chinese communists is investigative journalist Joshua Phillip. Josh, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, real pleasure and interesting times, huh?
Yes, for sure. Let me ask you, because we have these organizations actually here in Kansas. You'd be surprised. It's such a red state. But in particular here in Wichita, they've been very active. On the No Kings Day, they had well over 1,000 people. But every Saturday, they still get 100 or so, sometimes more than that, sometimes a couple of hundred every Saturday here at noon, downtown Wichita. What evidence does this House Select Committee have that provides link to the CCP and some of these other pro-Palestinian protests? Because, you know, what's interesting is even here at the Wichita ones, there's more Mexican and Palestinian and Hamas flags than there are U.S. flags at these things.
Yeah, well, as to be expected, those kinds of organizations. So the specifically on the No Kings protests, they actually publicly list the organizations involved. That's more like your Democrats kind of grassroots thing. There's about 190 organizations involved with that. And I mean, that's everything from like, you know, Greenpeace down to like, you know, your normal kind of grassroots Democrat group. They call them grassroots. I mean, I don't know how you define grassroots at that point if you have 190 organizations right. involved with it. But, you know, I don't know, in modern times, right? When it comes specifically to Neville Sin, though, Congress has called him in to testify, and he just didn't show up. So,
did they subpoena him or just invite him?
From what I understand, they subpoenaed him, but he never showed up.
Never showed. Okay.
From the reports I read, but he's in Shanghai. He's in China, and because of that, there's a lot of suspicion. You can't really go to China and run operations, funding foreign things, without having some ties to the CCP.
Right.
So there, I think there are a lot of questions over, well, what are his ties to the CCP? Why does the CCP tolerate him? Why does it allow him to work in China and, you know, fund these international projects? What is the real nature of his money? Are there Chinese ties to it? We don't really know. I can tell you my own work. I've been investigating Chinese front operations going back, geez, almost a little, well over 15 years, since 2008. And I know the way they launder money, the way these things work. The problem you have is the Chinese economy is a black box. So on their books, they can write anything they want. They can make you an advisor to a college. They can make you an advisor to a Chinese company. You can open a company in there. They'll just pour money into it. And on the U.S. side, there's no way you can audit that. There's no way you can figure it out. And so it's really hard to tell when someone's working there or has a business there. It's really hard to tell if they're getting paid by the CCP or not.
And then they use those organizations, these nonprofits or grassroots organizations or companies for that matter, to then wage, for lack of a better term, political warfare against our country, correct?
That is correct. And what is not very well known, it's known among the defense circles, but not well known politically or socially. The Chinese military actually has an entire branch dedicated to political warfare. They reorganized it not too long ago, but it used to be called the General Political Department. And they do what's called liaison work. So they basically research their targets. They have people who go to Harvard and Yale and fancy universities in the U.S. They study our legal system. So what happens is you have people who've studied in American schools. Maybe they have a doctorate, you know, in American law, constitutional law, political theory, everything. They go back to China and they work with the CCP. And it's not even just America. They do this to every country. But they work with the CCP to say, okay, this is how you manipulate this society. They'll also run cyber operations. They'll steal personal information on their targets. The military provides this information. A lot of it's run to the consulates. They go to what are called tongs. They're like front organizations. They operate openly. Like in New York, we have the Fujian American Association, Shandong Association. These are like Chinese community organizations, I think you'd call them. If you heard about the Chinese secret police stations, a lot of those were running under these groups. They then do outreach operations. They'll help fund or even send people to participate in like grassroots protests, get out the vote drives. They'll do the buses for the senior centers to go vote at the polls. And yeah, with a lot of the people within those groups, they're businessmen. They have a lot of money. They'll fund protests. They'll fund nonprofits. And that's kind of how the octopus, you could say, of the whole Chinese subversion system works.
We're talking with investigative journalist Joshua Phillip. Josh, do you think these organizations, some of them, even know that that's where they're funding? I mean, obviously, you know, if George Soros is involved, people tend to know. But do you think some of these organizations even know that that's who's backing them? Or is, in many cases, they may not even be aware of it?
Well, I think the leadership, some of them.
Yeah, that's separate. But I mean, the grassroots people, because, like, for example, you know, the people that organized the protests here in Kansas, do you think they're aware, or do you think they're just useful idiots, for lack of a better term?
A lot of useful idiots. But the real big issue, a lot of the more violent ones or aggressive ones, a lot of those are not like your No Kings type, you know, humanitarian groups.
Right.
You have actual communist and socialist groups. And those ones, like revolutionary communists and stuff like that, they're the ones who understand we're here trying to overthrow the UN. Not us, of course, but them saying this.
Right.
But, you know, they're very well in the know. They're trying to overthrow the U.S. government. They know there's foreign involvement, especially to people from other countries being involved with that. You mentioned George Soros. You know, George Soros taught the CCP how to do financial warfare. He's very much tied in with that. And when you get into, for example, some of like the big protests, you saw Black Lives Matter, for example, you very much have a normal grassroots operation to it, but you also have these organizations. One example, the Chinese Progressive Association runs a lot of this stuff. You had one of these Chinese front groups that actually goes back to like the Red Guard. That earlier on, if you clicked on the donate button for Black Lives Matter, it redirected to this Chinese front group. And, you know, they tried covering it up saying, oh, they had nothing to do with the CCP here. What they did was basically they have different branches in different states. And New York Times tried saying, because you pointed to this branch, it's not the same as this branch, but it's the same organization. So they tried covering it up.
And what,
but without a doubt, you do have some that are very much in the know of what they're doing.
What role do you think universities and the media play in this? I mean, do you think they're as well complicit in this? Or again, are they useful idiots?
So this is a scary thing. My work, where, again, a lot of my career as an investigative journalist has been investigating Chinese front operations. They get into organizations. You have Chinese spies working in the media. You have Chinese spies working in the government, advisory roles, assistant roles. Sometimes, you know, maybe they'll even buy off an official. Sometimes it's people in like mid-level positions. You know, you have an IRS agent who works as a Chinese spy, for example, or they got someone in the police department or something like that. You know, it works like that. But a lot of this runs through the universities, first and foremost. People talk about the Confucius Institutes. It's better known at this point. The Chinese Communist Party pays universities. They build these institutes, and they're basically Chinese brainwashing facilities. You know, it's all China, the CCP's narratives of history and revisionism. And if the university tries hosting something the CCP doesn't like, they threaten to pull the money out.
Right.
But the more nefarious one, the one not a lot of people know about, is called the CSSA. It's the Chinese Student and Scholar Association. These are in almost all major U.S. universities, and they are operated and paid for to an extent by the Chinese consulates. And these ones are scary. So it's not just students, and some of them will even automatically enroll Chinese students when they go there, even if they don't want to be part of it. But it also includes faculty, it includes professors, and it includes members of the community, which would be the Tongs, these front groups of these fraternal organizations. Part of that is to steal stuff. They get them involved in research projects, or they wanted to train on stuff and go back to China and, you know, help advise the military and political warfare, something like that. The scarier thing is when they have them, quote unquote, serve in place, and they will strategically try to work their careers to plant them in specific positions within our government or businesses or anything like that.
Wow. It's fascinating. I could probably have you on for a whole nother segment. Josh, I appreciate it's fascinating stuff. If Obviously, if folks want to read some of your articles, they can follow you on X at Josh J. Philip, and that's Philip with two P's. But what's another way they can connect with you?
I have a show called Crossroads, Crossroads with Joshua Philip. You can find that on YouTube.
Josh, I appreciate you joining us. Thank you again. Great to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up, Brandon Strzok, the founder of the Walkaway campaign. He's a former liberal and one-time Democrat Party supporter. Will explain why the Democrat Party's image has eroded to its lowest point in more than three decades. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And make sure you listen to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X, at John R. Whitmer, to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. My next guest, Brandon Strzok, is the founder of the hashtag Walkaway campaign. He's a former liberal. He got the cure. He got the shot, the vaccine, and one-time Democrat Party supporter who made national headlines when he publicly walked away from the political left. He went on to create a powerful grassroots movement, inspiring others to do the same. And it's a pleasure to have him back on the show again. Brandon, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again, my friend.
Great to be here.
There's a lot I want to talk to you about, but in particular because you were a true believer, so to speak. You took the red pill, fortunately. But because you were part of that side of the aisle, you've got that perspective. So there's lots I want to talk to you about, Mondami and some of the other stuff. But I've got to start with what's been going on most recent in the news, and hopefully you can maybe shed some light on this, is just this crazy response to a frankly harmless denim jeans ad campaign. The leftists are just going absolutely crazy. The outrage online over an ad where she's just showing off a pair of jeans. I don't get it.
No, it's so deranged, and the genesis of the entire thing is absolute naked racism of the left. There is an absolute hatred for white people in America that has now come from the left, and it's so deranged. It is so beyond at this point trying to, seek out anger and hurt feelings and offense where it doesn't exist. I look at that ad and it reminds me, frankly, of like old jeans ads from maybe the 70s or 80s with Brooke Shields. It almost kind of harkens back to a time like that. It's completely innocent. I actually thought it was kind of cute and sexy and, kind of fun, and reminded me of what good old like American jeans ads used to be like before, frankly. The left kind of got a hold of the industry, and it became about, how ugly can we make models?
Right,
yes. We certainly went through that phase. How ugly and obese can we make models? Now we're kind of like going back to a time of classical beauty. That's what it's about. There it is right there, is that they hate classic beauty. They hate really anything truly beautiful.
Right.
And that's, I think, probably just as much what it is as the whiteness.
Well, and for any in the audience who don't know who she is, she's not a Barbie model necessarily. She's not a runway model. She's not petite. I mean, she's not chunky, but she's, I like your analogy. She's classically beauty. She's fully breasted, shall we say. I don't want to get into any details, but she's classic. I love the look. It's a good way of putting it. But the thing that I don't get about this is just the hate that's, I mean, yes, what they do is they make a comment about she looks great in her jeans, but they're equating that to genetics. They say that it's Nazi propaganda. They're using like eugenics. And it's the whole thing on this is because she's blonde and blue eyed. And of course, it's Nazi propaganda. And I just don't, the left, just, they're so unhinged. And I just don't understand this.
Well, no, and the thing is, too, and look, I haven't even researched the ad campaign, so I don't even know about what I'm about to say, if it's true, but I'm willing to put some money down that it is true. I would imagine this is probably the kickoff to a larger campaign in which we're going to begin to also see black models and Hispanic models.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And other models who also have great genes. That they probably just happen to have chosen this model to kick off the campaign. And if we would all, you know, take a breath and, you know, the left would calm down, they would probably find there's probably some gorgeous black girl who's about to be featured.
Exactly.
As well.
Yes. Or some men, for that matter, who look good in a pair of jeans. It's the whole thing is just crazy, but it's symptomatic and emblematic of what is going on with the Democrat Party right now. I mean, you just saw that Wall Street Journal poll, and certainly Wall Street Journal is no right-wing rag, that showed that the highest unfavorability of the Democrat Party dating back 35 years, well over 60% of the American voters who have unfavorable rating of the Democrat Party. It's because of this kind of nonsense.
Well, it's because of this kind of nonsense. It's cultural issues, but it's you know, it's a lot of things. I mean, when they're prioritizing these kind of things over the actual, you know, kitchen table issues,
right,
the economy, jobs, things like that. And there have been a number of, you know, pretty high profile Democrats or people who support the Democratic Party who have been trying to call this out recently and say, you know, why don't we stop prioritizing illegal immigrants or the trans issue or whatever over these American citizens issues. This is where we're getting clobbered, and they're right. You know, and Trump got in there and he is prioritizing the American people. It's having a devastating effect on the Democrats' approval rating. And that's what we're seeing. But still, but this, look, they created this monster and now they're going to have to own it. You know, they allowed these people, they, and 2020, Black Lives Matter, this entire movement, all of this is an extension of basically legitimizing the sentiment that we were all told in 2020 about how, you know, white people are so terrible and white supremacy and inherent racism and all of this stuff. And now they're trying to find it anywhere they can to justify this stupid ideology that they tried to get us all to buy years ago. And, you know, the Democrats have to own it now because they supported it.
Absolutely right. By the way, we're talking with Brandon Strock. He's the founder of the hashtag Walkaway movement. By the way, I follow you on X. I suggest to highly encourage my audience to follow you. They can find you on X at Brandon Strock. And it's got an A at the end of it. So STRAKA. Brandon, I want to ask you about an event that you held last Sunday, and it was the Restore NYC rally. And I think this was in part designed to just sort of push back a little bit, for lack of a better phrase, against democratic socialism. And what's interesting is, you know, you look at what's going on in New York City, in all likelihood, unless something unlikely happens, New York City is going to elect an avowed socialist for their next mayor, this crazy Zohan Mandami. And I mean, this guy, if you look at the platform that he's run on and some of the things he's said in the past, especially in regards to what just happened, the shooting recently, you've got the guy's ending cash bail. He said defund the police, repeal mandatory minimum sentences. I mean, and that's just his law enforcement pledges. The other stuff that he's supported, I mean, he's a radical leftist, and yet they want to elect him mayor of New York City.
Yeah, exactly right. And yeah, he's a police hater. He is an ICE hater. He wants to abolish ICE. He wants to defund the police. In addition, one of his policies that doesn't get talked about that much, and I wish it would, because I think it's one of the most dangerous policy points and one of the most disturbing, is that he wants to decriminalize all drug use. Mm. And that might not seem necessarily at the top of most people's lists, but I encourage all those people to take a trip to San Francisco sometime and
right,
take a look at what happens when people are allowed to shoot heroin openly in the streets, deal drugs openly in the streets, crystal meth, fentanyl. You know, we have a crisis in this country, really, of massive. Our youth are dying at crazy numbers from a fentanyl crisis that we have. But in addition to that, to me, there's a direct connection between what just happened in New York City and drug use. You know, you can see, as somebody who's lived in New York City for more than 20 years, there are times you're walking down the street and you can see in somebody's eyes that they're on something or something is going on. And you take a person who's already got a propensity for mental illness or whatever else, and you make hard drugs easily accessible to them, you're going to end up with incidents like this happening all the time. And it's so I think that he's insane. I think he's incredibly dangerous. But this event that we did last week on Sunday was, we called it the Rally for Democrats. The Rally Against, not for, but against democratic socialism. And it is the first of what will be many rallies and events that we'll be doing to help fight Zohran Mamdani and the socialist threat against New York City, which is really the socialist threat against the entire country. Because if we allow these things to be normalized in New York City or Los Angeles or California as a whole, Washington, Oregon, the Northeast, Hawaii, right now, the Democratic Party has given its endorsement to a Democrat socialist for mayor in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Right.
You know, so this is spreading already, and we have to stop it now. And that's what I'm here to do in New York City.
I mean, look at I just saw recently your Metro Transit Authority in New York's estimated that his plan for free busing would cost some upwards of $650 million a year. The free grocery thing, that's crazy. In Missouri, they tried the free bus thing, and it was an utter complete failure. After 4 years, they reversed course because they realized they couldn't afford it. Now they've gone back to paid busing. I mean, how would just that alone, just the busing thing, how would you pay for that $650 million a year? There's just no reality in his platform. It's not grounded in reality. And yet, in all likelihood, do you think New York will elect this idiot?
Well, I think what's going to have to happen is we are going to have to rally and coalesce behind one candidate as an alternative. And my hope is that that will happen sooner rather than later. You know, right now we have a four-way split, and it's not feasible to defeat him if that continues.
Correct.
So I think the path to defeating him is going to be three of these candidates are going to have to drop out. And in regards to your question about the busing, yes, of course. And, you know, the cost analysis, I think, is just one piece of it. The other is that if you are a person who is dependent on public transportation, as most New Yorkers are, and if you're a person who's struggling to get by in New York City, as most New Yorkers are, it's beyond, you know, I understand the allure of being told you can travel for free, or that you'll have a rent freeze on your apartment, or the free health care, all of these things that he's promising to offer. But the problem is, first of all, it's very unlikely to actually come to fruition. And number two, if it did, it would be a disaster. I mean, we would be talking about buses that are never on time, breaking down,
right,
riddled with crime, homeless people. I mean, it would be a third world transportation system.
Well, and as we all know, eventually you run out of other people's money, and that would happen. It's like his plans are, you know, raising taxes on the uber rich and corporations. Well, okay, they'll just move out. I mean, we're seeing that in California. That's why there is an exodus of people out of California. It's because they're tired of the taxes. Well, same thing would happen in New York if it isn't already.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. It's the financial capital of certainly the country, arguably the world, but people don't have to stay and stick around and be the target of the government. I mean, when you've got a mayor who has a real hatred for wealthy people, successful corporations, why stick around?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to your point. They're going to go to Texas. They're going to go to Florida. There's other places they can go. And all of the whatever funding would be available to support these programs will collapse. And then the people who need, who are most disadvantaged are going to suffer the most in the end.
Back in 2018, I know I have to let you run, but back in 2018, Donald Trump publicly recognized you as part of, you know, for starting the walkaway movement, the walkaway march. Do you think that there's a chance that we can continue to grow this? I mean, I think that's part of the allure that Donald Trump has brought to politics, to modern politics, is bringing Democrats and liberals, red pilling them, basically. Do you think that can continue?
Well, I know it is continuing, and I know it will continue. Part of what I did with Walkaway when I started it was created a testimonial campaign for people to share their stories and share their videos about why they're walking away and join our movement. And we've only continued to grow throughout the years. You know, it's funny, and maybe this is another conversation for another day, but, you know, after I was heavily targeted by the Biden regime between 2021 and 2024, a significant portion of the conservative media kind of just started pretending like I didn't exist. You know, because I think it became, disadvantageous or whatever to talk about me or my movement. The funny thing is we continue to grow and we continue to thrive and nothing has really changed. It's just, you know, a lot of people stopped talking about us and everything that we did. But I think that now, you know, I don't want to shock you, but there's a lot of people on our side of the aisle who lack courage.
Yeah.
But now that Donald Trump is reelected and back in office, I think some of those people have found their spines again and have begun talking more again about what we're doing with Walkaway. And so, I know. I mean, our numbers have continued to grow. The testimonials continue to roll in. And so I know people are leaving the Democratic Party.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate you. Carry on your work, my friend. If folks are interested, if they want to find out more about you, they can visit Brandon Straka. And again, it's Strock, but I say the A because I want them to know it's there, .com. And they can find you as well at Brandon Straka with an A at the end of it on X as well. And it's, again, hashtag walkaway.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you, my friend. Carry on the fight, brother.
Thank you. Will do.
Coming up, Curtis Houck. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Texas House panel yesterday advanced a draft congressional map aimed at adding a few new Republican districts next year over the protests from Democrats that the proposals would suppress the votes of people of color. Of course, Democrats never do this when they're in charge. You know, that never happens. The chamber's redistricting committee approved the map on party lines. Yeah, again, that never happens. After spending much of Friday hearing testimony, which I'm sure was, you know, wailing and gnashing of teeth. The map could be considered by the entire state house as early as next week. With us now to kind of talk about this and a few other stories is my good friend and a buddy from Newsbusters, Curtis Houck. I cannot wait to get his take on this. Curtis, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Always a pleasure to be with you. This is a good one.
Yeah. You know, the left-wing media hysterics over this, you would think that they are just shredding the Constitution and you know, that we are just literally driving the country off the cliff and this never happens before and it's unprecedented what they're doing down in Texas.
Yeah, this one, oh my gosh, I was just looking at the network evening newscast from just a few hours ago. NBC News was celebrating it as the nuclear option. It was the break glass moment. They did not have any other option. Over on ABC, they said it was a high stakes showdown.
Right, right.
Governors are crying foul. Oh my gosh, this is so ridiculous. I just have to say. All right, so they're going to Illinois. I think that's my favorite part of this entire story, John. They're going to the most gerrymandered state in the country.
Right.
Blue state. There's a fun stat here. They have 82% of the seats, the Democrats do, but they only got 52% of the vote in 2024.
Right. I mean, no red state is as badly gerrymandered as the worst blue states in the country. And yet, all of a sudden, Democrats are yelling about gerrymandering and redistricting. Have they never seen California? Have they never seen New York? Have they, I mean, there's some of these states.
New Mexico.
Thank you. New Mexico. Yeah, my wife is from New Mexico. Oh, Connecticut. I'm glad you brought up Connecticut. This one, I don't know if you saw the tweet from Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who, by the way, has been traveling around the country, quote unquote, defending democracy. But But on Friday, he posted on X, quote, "We can play this game too." And he posted a link to California and a map that was gerrymandered to eliminate all Republican districts. The humor in this, Curtis, is Connecticut has no Republican representatives at all. So,
yeah, and they could draw one or two Republican seats from what I've seen. Maryland's another one too. My favorite, this is the best. Have you seen like the Gavin Newsom map that was tweeted, folks? If you haven't, yes. You need to go look
all
this
blue.
Up. He's complete. West Virginia being a gerrymandered yes. state with only two seats, and it's just literally a north-south split because they lost a seat in redistricting. Like, and this could backfire on them immensely because the Supreme Court has agreed to take up a case about majority-minority districts.
Right. Oh, the whole thing here that I watched this morning because occasionally. I enjoy self-flagling, you know, or flagellation or whatever that word is, you know, when you beat yourself like the you know, whatever it's called. At any rate, I enjoy inflicting pain on myself. So this morning I was watching MSDNC TV or as I like to call it, MSLGB TV. At any rate, and then I flip over back and forth and I go to CNN. But I was watching Velshi this morning and he had Congressman Raskin on. And Raskin spent 10 minutes lamenting how damaging this gerrymandering was and how it was unconstitutional, and even though the Supreme Court has already ruled that it is. This is it's a political process. It's good to be the king. But at any rate, he went on about how it's a threat to democracy. It's the end of America as we knew it. And then in the last segment, Velshi asked him about, he said, should Democrats do this? As a way to get even, basically. And Raskin went on to say, oh, yeah, it's okay, because since we're doing it, we should do it because MAGA took over the Supreme Court. And since they said it was okay, we should do it in order for it to be competitive. So literally the hypocrisy, he spent 10 minutes lamenting how damaging it is. But since the Republicans are doing it, we should go ahead and do it, too.
Right. Well, and he would know, too, because Maryland is one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. There should probably be three Republican seats. I mean, Maryland, I believe, has eight districts, and they should have a healthy second district in addition to Andy Harris, one of the good guys in Congress. But they just so happen to take rural Western Maryland, which is more like Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and they draw on just a teeny sliver of Montgomery County, for folks not familiar with the area, is the Maryland county right above Washington, D.C., where people have their McMansions along the Potomac River and whatnot. And they just drew a teeny tiny little sliver of it, and it completely throws the district to the Democrats because it's more than enough to compensate for that.
Amazing how that works.
And the beneficiary of that is Raskin. While Raskin gives up a few Democrat votes in order for there to be another Democrat district. So he knows this kind of thing personally, John. They don't like, too, how, like, President Trump over the weekend announced that he's going to people are going to look into Jack Smith's actions during this whole nonsense the previous 4 years. And they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. Donald Trump has come here and said, we're going to do to you what you do to us.
It's just
everybody's losing their minds because it's democracy. Our side is democratic. You're authoritarian.
Right.
We need to shut you out. And you're like, wait. And then PBS and NPR, the same thing. They're like, oh, we don't. This is authoritarian and it's against the First Amendment. How are people going to get crop updates on the weather without PBS and NPR if you listen to Ken Burns? And you're like, wait a second. Market forcing other radio stations to compete in the marketplace is anti-American?
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, okay.
It is laughable. What I just love is when you actually force people to recognize their own hypocrisy. But that's okay. We just sit back and laugh at them because I don't even think some of them, like Raskin, I don't even think they see their own hypocrisy, but we do. And that's fine. And they keep marginalizing themselves. And we're talking with my buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. And I have to ask you about this other little thing that we found here that we're laughing at. And that's the asinine nature of the response to the Sydney Sweeney ad. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, this has been called everything from racist, sexist, xenophobic. There's nothing Nazi about it. It's a girl in a nice pair of jeans, a cute little girl, and yet all of a sudden, somehow, this has been blown into some kind of Nazi propaganda piece.
I gotta say, first of all, this is a home run by American Eagle.
Oh, because, God, yes.
You know, American
Free
Eagle
media.
Has been throttled. They're one of the companies that have been throttled by the decline of malls and the rise of e-shopping.
Right.
I mean, as a child who was born in 1991, you know, even then in the early 2000s, that was the thing to do, still go to the mall. It's really just within the last 10, 15 years where things have really gone downhill. If she were lived in a different decade, generation, she would be a pinup girl. She'd be the
Absolutely.
One whom young boys would have posters of in their bedrooms. So that's one thing. And I think the left is just generally mad that, like, morbidly obese, like, biracial, mustached women
with armpit,
no longer
armpit hair
selling underwear.
Yes.
Yeah, with armpit hair, they're no longer selling underwear. But, like, that, like, beauty, we must accept and we must not only celebrate, we must celebrate and embrace and objectify morbid obesity and complete nonsense. People that aren't sure what gender they are, depending on what day of the week it is.
Right.
We have to celebrate relationships like, you know, the congressperson from Delaware.
Oh, the guy
who's a guy.
Right. The
and,
dude. Yes.
And before he passed away. She passed away. She was with a person who said he was a guy, but it was a girl. So,
right.
You know, that's the kind of thing that we're supposed to celebrate in this country. And American Eagle is like, wait a second.
Right. Or here's an idea.
Let's just do this.
How about a female who's actually a female? A female model who actually doesn't have a penis for a change. I mean,
they're just jealous.
Yes.
They're just jealous.
Yes.
They're just jealous that she's fully formed and she's a blonde. And oh my gosh, oh no. She made a joke about having great jeans with a G instead of a J.
And has bulges in the right places for a change.
And she likes old cars. She likes old cars, apparently. Yeah. There's video going around of her shooting at a gun range.
Oh, I've seen it. She's a hell of a shot. She's a hell of a shot.
Yeah, and she loves working on old cars, apparently. The millions that she makes, she buys old cars. I mean, like, this is, like, amazing. Only in America. We should be celebrating this American success story.
Preaching to the choir,
no.
Brother. One last question.
No.
I know I got to let you run, but I just wanted to get your take. I'm curious if you're at all disappointed that Kamala Harris is not running for governor, and whether what you think the success will be of her new book. Are you going to buy a copy?
Well, two things. One, notice that in her book announcement, she used a teleprompter.
Yes, I did notice that.
She couldn't just do that. And then number two, she's already stealing. She's kind of plagiarizing because her book title is 107 Days. There was someone who wrote a book about RFK's campaign, and it was like 85, 87 days. If you look at the book jacket, hers is blue, and the other one was like red or black, but it basically looks the same.
107 days and still didn't accomplish a thing.
Yeah. It's Mark Halperin, by the way, folks. If you want more laughs, he posted a parody-filled excerpts of the book that he said are world exclusives.
Oh, God. I can only imagine.
It all works.
I can only imagine. Brother, I appreciate you as always. I should have you on more often just for the laughs. If folks actually want real content, they can visit newsbusters.org. Yeah. It's always a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Stay tuned. We have more Colbert content that's been making the rounds.
My God.
We have more coming this week.
That's another threat to democracy. I saw that. You know, they said that canceling him was an existential threat to democracy. These people are just unhinged. And guess what? We have three more years of this.
Happy days are here again, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Take care.
We'll take a quick break, and then I want to take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give me a call. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget, AFP is bringing Guy Benson to town coming up here just 2 days, August 5th. And then, of course, on August 10th, that's next Sunday. Don't forget, we'll be hosting this show at their offices, thanks to our friend at the Larkin Company with our incredible lineup of guests. Mark Levin, Ron Estes will be with us live, and we'll have it's going to be a debate with Dion Leffler. But yes, Guy Benson, AFP is bringing Guy Benson to town Tuesday night, August 5th. For more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org, or you can find out more information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So a couple of good events coming up. Make sure you check those out. Also, don't forget, on the 5th is Election Day. If not everybody's got a primary coming up, but if you do, you need to look into who's running on the school board in particular. There's not much, you know, obviously, Anjanae Bennett, if you're in district, Wichita City Council District 1, highly recommend you vote for her if you're a conservative. There are only Democrats in that race. There aren't any Republicans, but she's a solid conservative choice for Republican voters. If you're a Republican, you live in that district, that's who you need to vote for. There are really no other choices for you. The rest of them are Democrats. They're all liberals, and Ajinay is your choice in that district. On the school board side, you've got some choices to make there. The two incumbents are Kathy Bond, who will be with us here coming up in a few minutes. Diane Albert is the other, but in the other race, the other district. But, you know, look at the other candidates who are looking, who are running in these Wichita school board races. And I mean, four of them are registered Democrats. One of them isn't just a Democrat, but a full-blown left-wing activist. Another is a paid employee of the American Federation of Teachers. You know, the same teachers union that fought tooth and nail to keep schools locked down, masks on your kids, woke ideology in your classrooms. You know, these folks are not going to be fair. They're not going to be balanced. They're not going to be focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic. I've done everything I could to bring these candidates onto the show. Too many of them will vote for another Bond. Too many of them will raise your taxes. Too many of them think that it's okay to keep spending without accountability. And, you know, you've got to, first off, you've got to vote. These choices are important. If you want accountability in these school board races, this is your chance. If you want to make sure that money is getting into the classroom where it belongs, this is your chance. If you want to make sure that teachers are paid, but teachers are held accountable, this is your chance. If you want to make sure that we don't get another multiple $100 million bond, and this is in multiple districts, be it Goddard, Derby, some of these other, you know, Mays. If you don't want these multi-million-dollar bonds going to build stadiums and press boxes and, you know, other nonsense, money that doesn't end up in the classroom, money that doesn't increase college and career readiness, you've got to get out and vote. And a primary election day is Tuesday. And I guarantee you it's going to be another one of these pathetic voter turnouts. It'll be less than 20%. If we're lucky, it'll be barely over 10%. And it's so important that Republicans get out and vote on Tuesday. And again, I've tried to bring you as many of the candidates that would come on. We reached out to a lot of them. A number of them wouldn't. big shock because they don't want to answer questions. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to be honest because I won't, I'll hold them accountable. As you've heard in these interviews, I don't let you dance around a topic. If you're not giving me a straight answer, I will force you to give me a yes or no answer if I have to. And it's just, that's the way it is. Cause voters need, they deserve, they have a right to know, they deserve to know your stand on these issues. But now you as an electorate owe it to yourselves and owe it to the rest of us to get out there and vote. Because it impacts all of us. So don't forget, Tuesday, make time and take the time and go vote. And take your friends, take your family, take your grandmas. Take, you know, take a couple of illegal immigrants. Well, wait, that's right. Only Democrats do that. That's right. We don't do that. We're Republicans. We believe in the integrity of elections. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Kathy Bond will be with us to bring us a final election update on her run for re-election to the Wichita School Board. 316-869 is the studio line. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news. Speaking of up-to-the-minute news, give you a little news update here. Texas Democrats, get this, are fleeing the state of Texas to protest, quote, gerrymandering. They're fleeing to Illinois. Oh, these idiots, I tell you. All Texas Democrats will be fined $5,000 a day for breaking quorum, payable through withholding of their legislative salaries and liens on their regular income, imposing a 50% state income tax rate on fundraising, and possible felonies. yeah, you can't make this stuff up. What morons? That'll get them nowhere. if you're not away, if you're away from your radio, you can always download the Odyssey app or tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. You can also find us on the iHeartRadio app or TuneIn app as well. So, as I mentioned earlier, you've got to vote on Tuesday, and we gave you some recommendations. And I want to highly encourage you, if you're in her district, to vote for Kathy Bond, who is really, in my opinion, she's got the most conservative record on the Wichita School Board. She is up for re-election. She's got a difficult primary, and we want to encourage all of the folks in the Wichita School District who live in her district to vote for Kathy to help re-elect her, push her through the primary onto the general. We get her to the general, I think she'll be okay. But we got to get her through this primary, and she joins us now. Kathy, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hi, John. How are you tonight?
Fine, thank you. I've, you know, my wife and I, we're West Siders like you. We drive around, we do some little shopping. I've seen your signs, so I know you've been out door knocking. Yes. I know you and Gary have been out door knocking. Gary, I mean, by the way, for folks who don't know, Kathy and Gary knocked on doors for me for my first run for the House. So I know these two are hard workers, but I know you've been out door knocking. What have you been hearing for folks when you've been at the doors?
Well, a lot of them are not answering their doors. That's what I am finding. Yeah. I am thinking through this primary campaigning, believe it or not, I think is changing a little bit. You've got a lot of these millennials and these younger kids. They don't want to answer the door. Just send me a text or give me a mailer or something.
Yeah, so, I think there's some truth to that. You know, Marlena and I have been out door knocking for AFP, you know, to help educate voters on the Supreme Court. And I would say there's, you know, the phrase that, you know, people use, take rate. That's the number of people that actually answer the door. I would say, you know, I think they want to get about a 20%. And I would say that's about accurate. 20% of the folks that answer the door.
I agree.
And takes, and that's probably down from when I ran for office. I would get a lot more. I probably got closer to 40 or 50% as the candidate. But then again, I was only doing Republican doors. So,
That's true. And well, that's all we're doing too. My team, we're not even doing unaffiliated. We're just doing Republicans. And not that the unaffiliates aren't important.
No, but it's a primary. Important. So,
but it is a primary. Right. And I'll tell you what, I've never run a primary, and this is really a lot different than the general. So, yeah, but I got a mailer out. People are calling me saying, hey, I got your mailer. I got to tell you, I had this really sweet lady that called and she said, well, somebody just put your yard in my sign and it's okay. I mean, your sign in my yard and it's okay. I told them they could, but your signs. And then she paused and she said, are so professional. The other signs look like they're for garage sales. So, I mean, I just thought that just made my night when she called and told me that. So I was blessed by that.
Well, it's been, this has been an interesting primary, and I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to some of the interviews that I've done, and not only with the, I did not have any one of your opponents come on. Now, granted,
I know
all of your opponents are Democrats, and so they wouldn't probably come on, but it has been interesting because pretty much every opponent in across the board supported things like the bond. And it's, don't get me wrong, I could see at some point, because school bonds are really the only way to fund the schools is through bonds, but the timing has just been so bad. It seems like asking for another one less than a year after the one that failed. And when there are some other questions, like you got the questionable grades that were changed, you've got, the superintendent just got two pay raises. You've got other issues. Your school career or college career readiness scores are not improving at all. And then to come back and ask for another $500 million just seems bad timing. It seems tone deaf. And none of the other candidates said that other than you.
Well, we all know where I stand on the bond issue, and there's no question I am still not for a bond issue because, like you said, it's the timing. And I am consistent with that from a year and a half ago when this whole thing began. I continued to say throughout the year, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. And I think that until we can see a substantial growth in our grades where our third graders can proficiently read, until we can see that the community then says, okay, we see the grades up. We're okay with a bond issue. I will continue to vote no for it until I see those things happen.
And I think that's a fair way to look at it. You know, people want to reward excellence. They want to reward performance. And I think to ask for reward when you haven't earned it is arrogant. It's presumptive.
But I do want to say that, no, we are not a perfect school district.
No, nobody's perfect. We're all children of, we're all, nobody's perfect.
No, and there are good things with USD 259. Yes. I don't want to have a bash session with you about 259 because 259 consists of children and their families. And one of the things that I'm really focusing on this next term, if I should be reelected, is getting the families involved and entrenched in their children's school building. We've got these pilot program going on with community schools, and there's about six schools that have been named, and I am thrilled for these. And when I into the fall or into the next year, I'm going to have these groups, kind of like our city council has DABs. I'm going to create something like that for District 5 for our school district. And I'm going to have volunteers that are going to go to the schools in District 5 and see what we can do to get their PTAs really good and grounded to where you've got people that are really entrenched and involved in the education of those kids. If people want to complain, then doggone it, I'm going to sign you up and I'm going to put you to work.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I remember, my wife and I were fairly involved when our daughter was going to Heights High School. I mean, we went to the swim meets because she was swimming. So we'd go to the swim meets. Yes. I mean, I took her to school every morning up there at Heights, and I made that drive every day. And so we were fairly involved back then. So
I've got a team already in place that said, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to do this. And I was meeting monthly for about 5 months at the beginning of this year. Every month we would get together and talk about it. It was the OK Elementary constituents. And, and I'm still going to see what I cannot do to keep that school open. That's important. And you know, if we get a really good, strong family involvement in these buildings, I think you're going to see our grades change. Our teachers are great. You know, a teacher can do so much. And now we're going to be talking about cell phones tomorrow night because one of the board members wants to pull that in the consent items. And I'm all for it because we're in a pilot program right now of from bell to lunch, no phones, and then from after lunch to bell, no phones, except when they're in passing period. You know, John, call me a stick in the mud, but I just believe no phones at all.
Yeah, I think most people would agree. I don't see what passing period is. What, a minute, 2 minutes?
I think it's 3 to 5.
What do you need? So urgent that you? I mean, I actually like what some of these other districts have done, which is those pouches that they put them in, and you put it in there, and it's bell to bell, basically. And the morning.
There are at least 18 states in our country that have banned phones for the whole state, and there can be no phones in their schools at all.
Yeah,
Texas was just the most recent one that banned them.
I think that's the way you should go, is bell to bell. At the beginning of the day, you have those little pouches that they put them in, and you can unlock them at the end of the day. There's nothing that urgent. And if there is, then the parent can call the front office, and the front office can go to find the student and reach you that way.
I have learned that I'm not going to please everybody. So there are going to be some parents that are going to be in disagreement with me when I say that. And that's okay. I appreciate that they can be honest with me. But let's think about what's best for the student. And, you know, the phones are a distraction to the students in the classroom, a distraction to the teacher, and a distraction to the student who's using it. And I hope that we will have some very healthy dialogue tomorrow night at the board table about this issue here, and see if we cannot get a policy in place before the school year starts instead of using the policy that we have right now. So that's my hope for tomorrow night.
Well, and one thing I was glad you said, I'm glad this is getting pulled from consent. I think there are too many, both at the board and the city council level and as well. Too many items get passed on the consent agenda. Things like this should be openly discussed. They should be available for conference, feedback from the public, where you have an open dialogue. There's way too many things that get passed on consent agendas at the city council level, at the county commission, and on the school board. I'm glad that it's being pulled and giving you guys an opportunity to have an open dialogue on it. So frankly, I think you should do that more often. I would encourage you guys to pull things off of consent and have dialogue.
And we do have dialogue at our workshop, which is the agenda review. And we do talk about the consent items there. And that's where last Friday, one of my colleagues said, hey, I think I want to pull this. And I said, you know, I'm in favor of that, too. I would like to have an open dialogue because all of our board members weren't there so that we could talk about this and see. That's what it's all about, is you dialogue, you come to an agreement, and then you pass it, and then you move on. I don't want any of our people with 259 students and parents to be confused. You can't start a school year with a policy and then 1 month and say, oh, we're going to change the policy. Let's just do it before the school year starts, have consistency so nobody's confused, and we'll just have a great school year.
Well, Kathy, I wish you all the best on Tuesday. You've still got tomorrow, so I tell folks, get out there, you know, if they I'm sure you're going to be doing sine waves or phone calls or something. So, and I'm sure there's still a day to go door knocking. So,
let me tell you, John, I'm at peace. I am so at peace I can't say if I'm going to make it through the primary or not. I never take anything for granted, but I am at peace no matter what happens because I know it's the will of God.
Yep. Well, I wish you all the best. I would vote for you if I lived in your house, in your school board district. You'd have our vote. Unfortunately, we don't live in your district, but trust me, if I could, I'd put your yard sign out and vote for you. But I wish you all the best.
Are you there?
If folks have questions for you, if they are interested in supporting you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you, Kathy?
KathyBond2025@gmail.com.
Kathy, I appreciate you.
They can come to the board meeting tomorrow night at AMAC at 6 o'clock.
They could do that as well, and then vote for you on Tuesday, and hopefully we will see you either at the Guy Benson dinner Tuesday night or next Sunday. Yes, come on down to our live broadcast. We can celebrate.
You will see me. You will see me Tuesday night. I can't think of a better place to be, no matter what happens, with a group full of like-minded people.
Good. Well, and I hope you'll come join us next Sunday at for our live broadcast with Mark Levin and Ron Estes as well. We'd love to have you there.
Be happy to. John, thank you again for having me on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. We'll take a quick break, and then our studio lines are open. I'd love to hear from you. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you, don't forget, seriously, Tuesday night's going to be a blast. Americans for Prosperity bringing Guy Benson to town. He's a phenomenal speaker, should be a lot of fun. You can find out more information at the John Whitmer Show Facebook page or visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's also a great way to get involved. We've got, you know, elections coming up. Obviously, next year, the effort to change the how the Supreme Court is elected. Just some great ways to make your voice heard. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. I know I've mentioned it. And of course, yeah, also don't forget next Sunday, broadcasting live. So I know I've talked a little bit about what's coming up with the election on Tuesday, but folks, you know, there's been a lot of misrepresentations in the Wichita City Council races, in particular with that, you know, District 1. you know, Chris Pompelli, who is one of the most radical left-wing partisan hacks, has been going around misleading voters about, you know, being a, you know, conservative or moderate or middle of the road. This guy is a radical left wing. I mean, I don't throw around words like fascists. He's a fascist. This guy is so crazy. He is one of Brandon Whipple's attack dogs. He's just toxically nasty. I know that he's been sending out letters to Republicans and talking about, you know, when he was a kid, when he was a boy, and, you know, initiative, and, you know, this guy is just absolutely grotesque, and he's not the right person for the job. He's absolutely the wrong person for the job. If you did rank choice voting, rank him. Not, don't even rank him. I mean, it's that bad. There's a reason this district is very Democrat. Republicans really don't have a chance on in that district. But, you know, we had Anjanae Bennett on the show 2 weeks ago, and there's a reason for that. She's a Democrat, but she's a fairly conservative Democrat. I liken her to the old Reagan Democrats. May not be with us on some of the social conservative issues, although she did get endorsed by Kansans for Life. So, you know, she certainly was solid on that issue, more so than any of these other Democrats. And Anjanae was a quality person, Christ-oriented, faith-oriented, and certainly a fiscal conservative. And that's what we need in that district. That's what we need in all five of the districts.
It was a great interview. It really was.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And she's so well-spoken. And she, when you asked her the questions or you made a statement, she wasn't afraid.
No.
She
didn't pull any punches.
Yeah. And that's what I liked about that. I think it's a great endorsement. Think she would be great for that district.
I think she would. I think, and the key was she didn't pull any punches. She, you know, and I think that's what they need. And when you compare to Brandon Johnson, who's as corrupt as the day is long, she would be a marked improvement. I think she would actually serve her constituents as opposed to Brandon Johnson, who serves himself and has for the last 8 years, and enriched himself and his wife considerably. I think she is there to truly be a public servant. And it's obvious in what she's done for her with her community service, with what she's wanted to do. Pompelli's the same thing. He's out there just to serve himself. He's a partisan hack, and that's why he just wants to grow his pocketbook and his political influence. Ingenue clearly has wants to serve her constituency and the people that she would represent. You know, will be interesting to see if she can emerge from the primary. It's tough. They're brutal. You know, Whipple and Johnson hate each other, so they've each backed candidates in that race. They're throwing money. I mean, you saw the fundraising numbers, which the Eagle published them. Yeah. They've thrown money at those two. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out. I'm glad that I'm not involved in that race. You know, there's just not a lot of integrity with, I mean, I don't think Chris Pompeo could spell integrity. So
there's five candidates running in that.
I believe that's okay. Right. Yeah. It's a mess. We'll just put it that way. But if Ingenue, I think she's clearly the most one with most integrity and character and humility. And, you know, it'll be interesting on the school board races. Kathy Bond, a solid candidate. They're you know, in the Republican races in Diane Albert. I know Diane, I disagree with her on some of her votes, but she's quality individual. And I think if we could get her to vote a little differently on the school bond, but I wish her all the best. And, you know, we'll see. Next week we'll know. And next week, broadcasting live, Mark Levin, Ron Estes, and a debate with Dion Loeffler. Join us.